Blog Talk Radio.
That goes along with the show this morning.
No.
It's a link that Jenny got me.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
It's Link.
Oh, okay. Oh, a link.
Link. It's Link.
I was thinking Link, not like your Link. My bad.
Oh, why does Horace have Riddler as his Twitter icon? Why? Explain to me why.
No idea. Do. I gotta look.
So how are you, Miss Glory?
I be tired.
You be tired? Why you be tired?
I was just, it was a big day yesterday. I didn't get to complete much of anything. I started a bunch of stuff, but I literally passed out at like 11:30. And y'all know that's way early for me. And when I say passed out, I don't mean euphemism for passed out. I mean I woke up and it was morning. I was like, what happened? I was watching something on TV. I don't know what the hell I was watching.
Oh, wow.
Exhausted, people. Exhausted.
I went hiking yesterday, so I'm a little bit sore today. But
is that what we're calling it now? Is hiking?
There was none of that. It really was hiking. It was off the trails. Yeah, it was good. You know what? I saw the most amazing thing though while I was out, and this is totally not geeky, but I have to mention it. Was a group of people who ran by while I was out hiking, and I almost wanted to stop the lady and compliment her. She had about 5 kids with her of various ages. The youngest was probably 7 or 8, and the oldest looked to be, I don't know, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And she had them all lined up. She was running behind them, and they were all running on these trails. And it was kind of neat. As they were running, she was pointing out the different things and the trees and, you know,
aww.
Well, this is this, and look at that, and watch out for this. And it was like she was, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of the whole, what was that show back in the day, the whole magic school bus or the chick, the teacher took her kids out, whatnot. But yeah,
you're on your own. I didn't do magic school bus, girl.
Oh, okay.
I don't do no magic school.
But no, it reminded me of that, and I thought that was really cool, you know, that this mom, and I don't even think these were all her children, but yeah, she had them all out there running on this back trail and, you know, had a whole little lesson going on as they were running. It was really kind of neat.
Aww.
I thought that was cool.
Aww.
Yes.
Aw, Ginger, you're so sweet sometimes.
I'm so sweet because I thought that was neat.
You're sweet because you notice stuff like that. Isn't Ginger sweet? Tell her she meets her Twitter. Oh. I said Twitter. Oh. At,
yeah,
you know what? Link does not want to be tweeted.
Oh, no. Why doesn't he want to be tweeted?
I don't know. He's like, no, you cannot attach me to the tweet. No. I will not be tweeted like some cheap knockoff.
Wow.
So Link is on my desk. He's actually looking very angrily at my cup of tea. Apparently elves don't like tea. I don't know. Who knew?
See, that is me and an elf that could not get along then. I need
my tea.
You got to have your tea. I understand. I don't know, Link. We're going to have to figure something out. Maybe I can move you to the other side of the desk where the cherry blossom lotion is. Will that make you happy, baby? Oh, by the way, I'd like to send out a thank you to ZQ77 for the birthday gift. I hate you. Cow. It's enough that I have a real life addiction. Sorry, a sex addiction, and you had to feed the real life one. She sent me some Zappos shoes. I'm like, oh, yes.
That is cool.
I'll be tweeting a picture of those and sending one to her once I decide which ones I want, because you cannot just hand me stuff with games and shoes and say, here.
That's awesome.
I will be there all day. I've been looking at shoes for, it'll be 24 hours around 2 o'clock today. I've been looking. Yeah. So thank you for the lovely birthday gift. It is always appreciated. I can't walk on the heels, but I'm going to get them. I can sit down in them and cross my legs and be all sexy that way. Which thing, Jenny? I think that's sexy.
I think that is totally sexy.
Actually, that is a female tactic question about the girls that can't walk in those or pretend they can. It's so we can fall on you.
Yes. Yes, totally. So I have to say, I don't know what it is. That whole leg crossing thing that most girls do?
No.
I've never been able to pull that off. I have too short of legs. It just looks goofy.
Did you not say you were 5'2"?
I am 5'2".
You're a 5'2" lie because I'm 5'1 and I can cross my legs. Whatever, Ginger.
Now, my hips are all like, oh, don't do that.
Okay, that might be an issue. Yeah. If you got the hourglass thing working, yeah. See, I don't have an hourglass, so I'm just like, it's straight.
Yeah, yeah, I got the hourglass thing going on.
Want a trade?
No, it's okay.
Like, that is it.
As hard as it is to keep up with the hourglass, I would rather have my hourglass.
Fine, be that way. Be that
Totally, totally. Wait a minute, what is this, a stealth ship?
Wait, now, we gotta get this party started because we're like all off the rails. Okay, in case you didn't know where you were, it's lunch with Ginger and Corey.
It is. Awesome. All right, this is geeky, but not like gaming. Can I read this?
I propose you that. What manner of geek here?
Yes. All right, so if you have $10,000 down and want to pay a total of $195 million, there is a stealth ship for sale. Oh, yes, I said stealth ship.
Shh.
I didn't even know we had these.
Shh, stealth.
Yeah. All right, so the U.S. Department of Defense, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, has placed its famous Sea Shadow stealth ship up for auction. And while the high-tech military sea vessel cost more than $195 million to develop, its opening bid was for the relatively tiny sum of $50,000, with only a $10,000 deposit required.
Oh, wow.
They have pictures of this. I actually found this over on Yahoo News. I've never even heard of this ship. How have I never heard of this thing? This thing is goofy looking. But anyways, they say, however, before you begin finalizing your plans, there is one major catch to the auction. The ship will be dismantled and reduced to scrap before being handed out to the auction's eventual winner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the XC Shadow shall be disposed of by completely dismantling and scrapping within the USA. Dismantling is defined as reducing the property such as it has no value except for its basic material content. The 164-foot experimental craft was first constructed in 1983 by Lockheed Martin. It contains the same stealth technology used by its more famous aerial counterparts. Although it appears almost flimsy on the surface, it actually contains two submerged twin holes, and it is specifically designed to withstand very rough ocean waves of up to 18 feet. All right, so you can buy a boat, a really cool-looking boat, in a goofy-looking way, but you're not actually going to get the boat. It looks like you're just going to get the metal. It's going to be like nothing by the time they hand it over to you.
All right, so I must tell you about the new hotness because, you know, everybody is doing a Kickstarter. However, somebody else decided to go to take that idea and do something different with it. It's called App Story.
Yeah. App Story. What is App Story?
App Stories. This is a new company. It's a funding platform focused on mobile apps and technologies. That's right, people. Mobile developers that are looking to get some financial assistance with your projects for your iOS or Android app may have a new ally in AppStory, their Kickstarter-like funding platform specifically for mobile apps and technologies. Again, one of the differences for AppStory, however, it's community focus. It's not just about donations and support, feedback, collaboration, and the ability to find talent. I like this because, yeah, you know why. Consumers can browse and contribute to the creation of mobile products before they reach the App Store. Using AppStory, mobile enthusiasts can discover original app ideas from a catalog of pre-screen projects and support them in a variety of ways, either by making a financial contribution, providing user feedback, and engaging offer their services, and promoting them with social tools, the company explained. Importantly, pledges to the projects on AppStory are not taken from the backer's bank account until the goal is met. Projects on AppStory are set with an initial funding goal to be met before a fixed date, and then the money pledged only changes hands if the goal is met or exceeded. That's not different from Kickstarter. We were talking about that the other day. If I raised $10,000 and my goal was $15,000, I should be able to collect my $10,000 and keep going.
Exactly, yes.
Of course, they're saying with the increased use of community funding and crowdsourcing solutions and the explosive growth of the mobile market over the last few years, when Mr. Michael Sinegran and Ari Abacasis, I'm sorry, I may have up your names, quoted saying, "I felt it fitting to offer innovative minds a dedicated resource to help bring their amazing ideas to life." They said there's still much innovation to be unlocked in mobile technology, and they wanted to create a robust market-driven platform to improve app discovery and development. I think it's a brilliant idea. And I like their website. It's so soothingly enough.
That's awesome.
Not saying Kickstarter isn't, but when I go here, it is very soothing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not familiar with this story. How did I miss this story? Anyways, there is some breaking news up on GamePolitics.com this morning. USAG, Attorney General, officially indicts 10 individuals from Operation Tangled Web. 4 years ago, GamePolitics broke the news that the U.S. government performed raids on mod chip sellers in a program they called Operation Tangled Web. During this program, operated raids on more than 32 locations in 16 states. At the time, there was little information and no official indictments of those running mod chip operations. Since then, no new information has been released until now, 4 years later. Wow, that's some productivity you got going there, Attorney General. Anyways, yeah, thanks to a very eagle-eyed John Doe, we finally have news that the U.S. government is bringing charges upon 10 individuals, including Manuel S. Diaz-Marta, who was the only named target in 2008. Much like this, very little information is provided about the case, and internet searches have not turned any publicly accessible documents on any of the cases. According to the official press release from the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Ohio, the following individuals have been indicted. One, Robert L. Amos, age 43, of Astor, Florida. Christiana Budiman, age 35. Louis W. Daniels, Leslie. Manuel Diaz-Marta, John W. Moorhead, Jeffrey J. Reichert, William B. Silvius, Hayu Trung Tran, or Jack Lee, Adam Urban. They say the only information regarding the charges brought up is the indictments generally charge that the defendants knowingly manufactured and imported, offered to the public, or otherwise trafficked in technology, products, services, devices, components, or parts thereof, which were primarily designed to circumvent technological measures designed to effectively control access, so were copyrighted under the Title 17 of the United States Code for purposes of commercial advantage or private financial gain. All right, so they say, while little is known as of yet, we will continue to monitor the different cases and hope to see more information soon. They added in as a bit of an editorial note, these cases at the same time, the U.S. Copyright Office is considering making exceptions to the DMCA anti-circumvention clause that would make similar actions by other legal in the U.S. While it is unclear how making an exception for jailbreaking game consoles now would affect the current cases, it is an interesting contrast in recent events. That's interesting. So I guess these chips were to mod consoles?
Do you remember anything about this?
Vaguely, but it happened so often I can't pinpoint one specific instance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, if this gets passed, that, you know, your charges get dropped, but I doubt it. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, you don't get caught. You got greedy. You started selling this stuff, man.
Yeah, that's where we messed up.
You want to, you know, hack your own console? That's one thing. You're charging others to hack theirs. You know something's going to come. And not only are you paying them, they're part of it.
Well, it may not be their part of it, but they feel like it is. Therefore, it's their part.
Yeah. And now they're going to take even more than what you earned in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
Speaking of not smart people... Ah, VentureBeat is...
Is it Day of the Stupid or something?
It probably is. It's on my calendar somewhere, I'm sure. I'm sorry, not VentureBeat, but GI.biz is reporting that in an interview with George, GeoHot has revealed that he was invited to meet with Sony engineers months after his PlayStation 3 deal break. A profile done by The New Yorker reveals Sony received Hot's last May at its headquarters, and he's quoted as saying, if there were going to be lawyers there, I was going to be the big beep ever.
Wow.
But what he actually found was a group of respectful engineers who were interested in his programming talent and how he used them to bypass the console security. Jim Key, the Senior Vice President of Strategic Communications for Sony Corporation of America, says that they are always interested in exploring all avenues to better safeguard their systems and protect the customers. Hotz released a PlayStation 3 hack in January 2010. In April of 2011, Hotz settled with Sony Computer Entertainment, agreeing to a permanent injunction, and his profile on The New Yorker is saying, he's quoted as saying, I don't hack because of some ideology. I hack because I'm bored. How about you hack and...
Because he's bored.
Stupidity. I can understand being bored, but you break a law because you're bored. What you should have been doing is the very second that you realized you could hack it is I would have sent it to PlayStation and I would have told them, look, I need the job or
exactly.
I need you, or I need you to be a reference because I'm about to open my own hacking consulting firm and, you know, offer my services to people. You want me to see if I can break into your system. Mm-hmm. That's what you do when you have that kind of talent. Not be bored and then get yourself in international trouble.
Exactly. Boredom is not an excuse for this sort of thing.
Come on. You got a brain, apparently, and you're smart somewhere in there, but, you know, common sense is not common, I guess.
No, it's not. Not at all.
You could have been sitting pretty somewhere on an island.
You could have. Exactly. Could have had your own damn island, for that matter, you know?
Yes. look here. I don't want to release it to the public, but I need you to back me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There you go. That one's short, so I want to share with you now.
Okay, what you got?
Well, I keep saying finalists. It's not actually the finalists. It's the Atari's the Pong Indie Developer Challenge that we told you about. You got your semifinalists have been revealed. Yay! The 20 indie developers advancing past the first round of Pong Indie Dev Challenge, becoming a semifinalist in the pursuit of the ultimate chance to release an iOS title under the Pong brand. The 20 semifinalists chosen from a total of 87 submissions will now work to deliver a game build and compete with contest finalists by earning Atari's publishing support, upfront cash prizes, and a position on Atari's developer spotlight.
That is so hot.
Yes. In the next round, semifinalists will use their initial game design to prepare and submit a playable build on or before June 5th, 2012. Based on time with the game builds, the judging panel will consult and select up to 10 finalists to receive a 3-year revenue share publishing agreement and cash prizes based on their final ranking. So first place will receive a hefty $50,000. Second place, not too shabby, with $37,500. Yeah, $500. Third place, still not too bad. You'll net yourself $15,000, and up to seven additional runner-ups will take home $5,000 each. Additionally, finalists will be featured on Atari's Developer Spotlight, an online portal with information on the developers and their contest efforts. Here's a quick update. If you are wanting to keep track of this, there's 20 finalists. Personally, I will not be reading them off for you, but you can go check it out at atari.com/Pong Developer Challenge. But the deadline goes as follows. June 5th, the semifinalists must have their demo and video submission ready. By June 19th, the finalists will be announced. July 6th, completed mobile app submission will need to be done. And August 2nd, the winners will be announced. congratulations to those of you that are moving on. And if you're like, why would they care about being with Atari? Well, Atari's only like, you know, Legend, Asteroid, Centipede, Missile Command, Pong, Test Drive, Back to Sports, Ghostbusters, Roller Coaster Tycoon. Do I need to go on?
Exactly. Who would not
want to have that money and be recognized by them? So excellent.
That is excellent. That's totally excellent. All right, what have we got? 9 glorious years of Eve.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Eve Online anniversary brings gifts to players in preparation for the 9th birthday of Eve Online on May 6th.
And that'll be going on. They refuse to interfere in.
All right. CCP posted a message to Eve players. We thought you might like to help us celebrate another successful year as we head to the next big expansion, Eve Online Inferno. As a reminder, if you're interested in Eve, Dust 514, and all things CCP, I could not more strongly suggest you follow us and our games on Twitter, Facebook, and G+. Google+, people. All right, so what do we got? Greeting pilots. Sci-fi magically each year brings more pilots living, warring, and trading and socializing in the Eve universe than the year before. Sci-fi magically because, well, that's not really happening in other MMOs. And later this year, we are adding some dudes on those planets around you, dudes that you will be able to shoot at. It's like the biggest universe in gaming is going to get bigger without actually expanding. Sci-fi magic. So each year also adds more layers of depth, richness, and nuance to the Eve experience. Not quite like a fine wine, not like aged cheese, and definitely not like preserved high carl. I never even heard of that. Anyways, all right, so Eve Online Crucible brought us back into the important internet spaceship business, and IIS business is good. Watching those well-designed tools of destruction a sexy backdrop. Nebula backdrop, my bad. Feels quite nice, doesn't it, my space brothers? Oh my god, all right, whoever wrote this, I love you. All right, this lush, limitless environment, full of epic battles, clever tactics, camaraderie, and antagony is built upon three basic humble pillars. Death must have a all right, I can't talk. Breath. All right, so death must have a meaning is the first one. The second one, everyone plays in the same shardless universe. And three, sandbox design fosters human interaction that creates emergence that fuels a limitless storytelling engine. All right. I'm going to lose my voice. A terrifying, powerful ingredient thrown into the mix. Nearly 9 years ago to the day, the pilots themselves. We don't want to get too into the philosophy of games and social organizations and all those academic shenanigans. So let's just pause to remember that you, through the individual and collective forces of your imagination and will, have made your own Eve experience. Yes, this is totally true. All right, so this goes on and way on. I put it up on GameMatrix.com this morning, so if you want to read it, you can head over there and check it out, because, like I said, this goes on and on and on and on and on. But happy birthday, Eve. 9 glorious years.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe. You know, I would almost play, but if I played, I would totally become the biggest troll. Constantly be in fights with people and talking smack and getting killed.
Well, it's not that easy. You would have to infiltrate, or we'd have to like start a little gang or something, or rove around shooting people.
I'm not even afraid of that.
No, I mean, you know, the world is so vast and it's so complicated. We'd have to first build up our, you know, we'd have to build ourselves up. We'd start a little gang and roll around with a gang symbol and that kind of business. All right. Well, you've been wondering, what am I going to do with all these old cell phones? I myself have a stack in the closet. What do you do with them? Well, a new company.
I donate them in those little boxes.
Well, now you can get money for them. A new company called EcoATM has raised about $17 million for its electronics recycling ATM kiosks, which give you money for handing over your old phones, MP3 players, and even laptops. That's right, laptops. What it does is it'll ask you to insert a defunct electronic device into its deposit slot. Then ask if you would like to scan your old hunk of plastic and metal and tell you its second market value, and ask if you want money in exchange for saying a final goodbye to the device. Wow. EcoATM knows that most people want to keep e-waste out of landfills, but also don't want to part with their $500 phone and get nothing in return. Amen. In order to get more people to recycle their electronics, the company will make it worth your while to part with your old device by giving you money or discounts on new phones. If you feel really, really nice, you can donate cash to charity even. The idea of the device recycling ATMs has gained a lot of attention from investors. Coinstar even dropped some cash into EcoATM's bucket with an investment 2 years ago. EcoATM also won the Best Clean Tech Startup Crunch Award last year. Investor Randy Hawks,
totally awesome.
Right? Investor Randy Hawks of Claremont Creek Ventures is very impressed. He says they've got a great business model with the idea of having kiosks that are convenient for consumers. They're constantly updating their price estimates for devices. You're getting the best pricing for your 18-month-old Android phone, said Hawks during a phone call with VentureBeat. He said they have a stellar management team and have a great way to monetize the value of old devices. EcoATM unveiled its kiosk at demo spring last year. And has since raised a disclosed total of $31.4 million in funding, and the company is based out of San Diego, of course. Allison, look, you're supposed to be the second Silicon Valley. We need some of you people to do something.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing I'd like to say to some of our little thieving friends out there. I know what you're thinking. Ooh, all cell phones and laptops all in the same place. This is not like these companies that are technologically behind. This little machine is probably going to be so high-tech and so well put together with all kinds of cameras and mark these little items once they go inside. You're not going to be able to steal them and resell them. Please don't do something stupid that we can point and laugh at later. Please do it. We will point and laugh later. Either way, leave it alone.
Do not be stupid. Don't ruin a good thing either.
I do be very happy because I have a stack of old cell phones. I do have an old laptop here, but it is so old, I bet it's like worth $2. It has sentimental value for me, and I use it as a footrest under my desk.
Oh, my God.
I do. Yeah. It's one of those thick ones that's like the size of the old phone books.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite that old. I mean, it ran Windows, 98, I think? I want to say Windows 98, maybe. So it's not it's old, but it's not that old. Probably the first or second generation when they started going on laptops. And it has, guess what it has inside?
What does it have?
A 56K modem card.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But it is, I kill the hard drive. Everything else works. Anybody want to buy it? Make me an offer.
Wow. That's nuts.
But the hard drive killed the screen now that I think about it, because I was actually able to take it somewhere and they pulled the data off of the hard drive for me now that I remember. So I killed the screen. Y'all know I'm an electro girl. Trying to plug the printer into the back, I had a whole thing happen with my hand plug.
Yeah.
No more screen. Boo!
Aw, boo. All right, Corey, we need to move to Florida.
You go to Florida.
No, you really, really, really want to move to Florida. Miami-Dade County Public School System prepares video game magnet school. Tell me that's not awesome.
That'd be nice.
I know, like I said, we want to move to Florida. All right, so Miami-Dade County, Florida Public Schools are preparing to launch the first-of-its-kind magnet school that focuses on video games this fall, according to the Miami Herald. Dubbed the iTech Academy at Miami Springs Senior High, students will be able to learn how to design video games. Educators back in the school believe that this special program will teach students how to better solve problems and also prepare them to work in the technology and gaming industries. The focus on design and coding is to push state and national efforts to promote STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Principal Anna Rodriguez told the Herald, "We are going to be a school that produces not only games, but apps. It's part of my vision. I can see our students building holograms. I can really see it."
Finally, can she please come here?
I know, right? While students may like the idea of attending a school about developing video games, teachers understand that parents may have a hard time understanding why the whole thing is a good idea. When students say, "I've decided where I want to go to high school and it's a computer game design program," parents look at them like, "Yeah, right, I'm going to let you go to high school for gaming," admits Kathy Ferrix? Anyways, lead teacher for another new computer game design and animation high school in Hillsborough County. The parents don't understand the high-tech level the kids get into. They hear the word game and they get turned off. Her pitch to concerned parents lets them know that such a school teaches an array of important subjects like animation, programming, computer design, and database skills. Likewise, educators in Miami-Dade point out that their school will better prepare students who want to build video games for a living a better chance of realizing their dreams when they seek further education down the road.
Well, it's not just the video games. The stuff they learn can be applied to, you know, banking.
Anything tech for this matter.
Yeah, they may create the first holographic ATM where you go and put your fingers in and it scans your fingers and it has all your information and gives you your money. I remember, what was the thing? Was that Verizon that was that you were going to be able to hold the data in your hand?
Yes.
Okay, imagine applying that to ATM. Your data's already in your hand. You go over, you hold your hand over, it's got your PIN number, everything, and you can transfer them up to your hand, physical cash, and you can go pay. Man, there's all kinds of things they can teach these kids how to do.
Exactly.
I'm all for it. Well, they have high schools for performing arts. They have high schools for medicine. We have quite a few of those here where the kids that want to be doctors, is they can actually go to a high school that starts teaching them about medicine in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
So I'm all for this. I'm happy somebody decided to do it. This is our world. The doctors still need, you know, applications and things. I mean, it may start off like a game, but I know a lot of doctors were very appreciative of when the iPhone app started coming out that allowed them to keep their patient files and pull up X-rays and things.
Yes. It made so much easier all the things.
Yeah. It cuts down on the patients being in the hospital so long. I mean, there's tons of ways to make it work out. Even better on the horizon is Intel's tiny prototype computer that will fit in the palm of your hand. And guess what, guys? Can run games.
That is amazing.
Can you remember we told you a few months ago about the $35 palm-sized computer called Raspberry Pi?
Yes.
Well, this is supposed to be Intel's answer to it. ExtremeTech is this.
So flipping cool.
ExtremeTech is what they're called. Has a nice overview of Intel's compact computing platform called the Intel Next Unit of Computing, or NUC for short. Again, you can see those photos at sweclockers.com. This is a Swedish overclocker site, or we would have it too. Nobody's actually seen the little book yet, but they've been talking about it. The iBridge processor family that they built last week is supposed to have a more powerful integrated processing they're going to use in it. But compared to Raspberry Pi's 700 megahertz ARM processor, Intel's offer, they're saying, will be like a race car next to a bicycle. Ouch. Okay, Raspberry Pi is already shipping.
Oh, that's a low blow.
I like the way they said that, though. The Raspberry Pi is already shipping. NUC is not. Again, we just have some prototype specs. And I'll compare for you real quick. Raspberry Pi, 700 megahertz. Intel says almost any core i3, i5. The RAM for Raspberry Pi is 256 megabytes. Intel hasn't released theirs yet. The size of Raspberry Pi screen, 8.6 centimeters by 5.4 centimeters. Intel's is going to be 10 centimeters by 10. Ports for Raspberry Pi, Ethernet, HDMI, USB 2.0, audio, and Intel's Thunderbolt HDMI USB 3.0. SD card slot, Raspberry Pi will have one, Intel won't. Operating system for Raspberry Pi, Linux. Intel, unknown, they're probably going to try to blow them out by putting Windows or something on it. It could be, wow. The price for Raspberry Pi is only $35. Intel is estimating at around $100, which still isn't bad considering how powerful it's shaping up to be. They're saying it is meant for use in kiosks, mostly in digital signage, but you can already hear the sound of some of you out there rubbing your hands. Like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Imagine set-top boxes, home media servers, car stereos, Barbie doll, house-sized server racks, surveillance systems, robots. I mean, just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. We'll see. We'll see. Well, let's see if they can pull it off. I, for one, wouldn't mind one of these little Raspberry Pi dealies, too.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I wonder if I could, you know, I wonder if Skype wouldn't run on it, you know?
Well, don't they have a Skype app? Pretty much. Most of the major apps can run on Linux. Of course, people are complaining about Raspberry Pi. It has no Java support. It's only available in the UK, so we can't get it here. But we know people. So we can probably get somebody to send this. Ginger, get the fluffy cakes ready.
Why do I have to use my fluffy cakes?
Well, snuggle that on, and yours are the next prettiest ones.
Aw. Yeah, she does have some amazing, amazing fluffy cakes.
Actually, both of you do, but I was trying to play you down since you didn't want to share.
Oh, yeah.
Not even for a Raspberry Pi?
Huh?
Not even for a Raspberry Pi, Ginger?
I don't know. I'm sitting here looking at him. I don't know.
You know what's bad is I know you actually are because of the way your voice is. Ginger is actually looking down at her chest going, maybe. Hey, Tifa, did you fluff him too? You look down.
I did. I was like, yeah.
There's some guys out there like, yeah, y'all need to do this on camera in the morning.
Well, I would say more about that, but there was a picture linked on Facebook the other day. It talked about, you know, what girl gamers look like, what people thought they look like, what the parents thought they look like, and what they actually look like. And the last one, the actual what they look like, was you couldn't actually see her. She had her back to the camera, but she's sitting at the computer, and she's got her food next to her, and it looks like she's playing World of Warcraft, and her cat, like a real cat, is laid out next to her, well, in front of her keyboard as she's playing, and she's topless.
That's about right.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly topless, but yeah.
That is amazingly accurate, because I do that quite a bit. Little do you all know, yeah, I game topless quite a bit.
But it
is nothing to do with sexual. It's just hot.
It is hot.
Some of y'all like to be shirtless, so do we. That reminds me, I've been meaning to announce this all week, and I'm like days and days late, and I meant to announce it last week, but our beloved Felicia Day was on Supernatural Friday night. It should be up on CW.com if you want to watch the episode, and she is playing a geek girl. And I'm telling you, I enjoyed it immensely. I like Supernatural, but to have her on there and all the geek references, oh, awesome. The first reference into the show, 5 minutes into the show, if you watch Supernatural, Dean says, Sam says, where's the file that we need to get? And Dean looks at it, he says, it's in the middle of the Death Star. With the equivalent of the Death Star. I was like, I get that Star Wars reference. Oh, this is going to be a good show. And it was. Felicia was hilarious. I love her dancing to Walking on Sunshine in the elevator. That's the only thing I'm going to give away to you because that's in the first couple of minutes of the show. Hilarious. So, guys, go out and support your geek girl. Tell Felicia you loved it. She did a good job for the geek chicks.
Yeah, I was watching an old Eureka last night. She was on Eureka. And I was like, oh, look, it's Felicia Day. Felicia, are you listening? I love you. I want to have your babies, Felicia.
You gotta watch it. even if you don't watch Supernatural, it's not so. Even if you haven't been following the storyline, it works. You can still pop in and watch this one and get the gist of it. Was something that she needed to get that they needed her for that only she could do, and it was funny, hilarious. I like all of her.
She has no idea I even exist.
Well, she might. I don't know. Let me get back to you on that. So I got a message or something. I don't know if it was from her or if it was in a message with a bunch of people, but something she put up on Google Plus this morning. We're in her circle somehow. Don't ask me how that happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm tweeting right now.
Telling her I watched on Supernatural. I tweeted while I was watching it, you know, so watching Felicia Day on Supernatural. Who run this mother? Geek girls. All right. Is it my turn again?
No, it's mine. Hold on. I was just tweeting.
Well, you can tweet her. I got a short one about girls. Well, those of you who are still saying girls do not game, be wary. Be afraid because, according to a report from Spill Games, tweens, female tweens, doubled the game usage in the past year. Those little mamas from 8 to 12 years old? Yeah. Started playing doubling their game time per month in the past year from 38 minutes to 78 minutes.
Really?
Yes. The report sheds new light on a key demographic group that has become more and more engaged with games and the rise of mobile devices and casual websites. Tween girls control about $260 billion in the U.S. Truly, who run the world? The three most popular games on Spills Girl related site, unfortunately, are cooking, dress up, quiz, and quiz titles. You know what? I can't say I love me a cooking game. Order Up, I've been trying to stop playing it, so I have to review it for the past 4 months. Really. And then they didn't ask us to review. I just decided I was going to because it is an awesome, the most awesome of awesome iPad games I've ever played. But I can't stop playing it long enough. I just opened my Spanish restaurant and learned how to cook enchiladas. Don't talk to me. Okay, so Android phones are becoming increasingly popular among tween girls, of course, accounting for 46% of mobile sessions. Hilversum, Netherlands-based Spill Games has about 170 million worldwide users across three major brands. Its U.S. tween site, Girls Go Games, and yes, I see that one quite often when the little people are here, has more than 7.6 million monthly active users, and it was the source that was the source of this data. Girls do enjoy interacting with the community, and they create more than 88 pieces of content a day. 88,000, I'm sorry, 88,000 for girls. Gaming is inherently social. Imagine that. We've been saying that for years. This is
I know. Somebody asked me the other day, why do you play Second Life? You like playing games where you can kill people and stuff like this. Why you don't do anything like that? Because of the social.
The aspect.
Like you coming, yeah.
Look at this. And this is said by Miss Flores Jane Kuypers, who's the Vice President of Corporate Development and External Communications at Spill Games. Spoke to GamesBeat. She said that girls enjoy creating avatars and dress-up outfits. Girls focus on being creative, cultivating friendships, and engaging with a community of fans. They play most often on Friday through Saturday between the hours of 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. That is amazingly accurate. The main sites for girls in the U.S., of course, are Girls Go Games, Club Penguin, Barbie.com, which I would like to take offline personally, Kizzy.com, and Stardoll.com. I haven't heard of those last two. The top celebrities for girls right now on those sites, Beyonce, Justin Bieber, Angelina Jolie, Miley Cyrus, and Jennifer Lawrence. And on Girls Go Games, the most popular game is Pet Party.
Adorable. Really? Pet Party.
Adorable. Remember the age group now, Ginger, 8 to 12.
That's true. Okay, I can forgive you all for that.
They're little girl gamers, and they like
this
stuff.
True.
They're little girl gamers. That's when they still like the sparkly and pink stuff. I don't care for Barbie, but I have been over to girlsgogames.com because there is a doppelganger for Girls Go Games that you parents need to watch out for. It is not little kids' games, and your little girl should not be on that site. Make sure you take a peek that they're at the right one because people are despicable. But that is such exciting news. Love it.
That is totally exciting news.
Taurus world domination. That is right.
You know, I didn't really get into the whole pink thing until I was an adult. That's horrible.
And why do you think we call you baby girl Ginger?
You're not
only the baby girl of Ginger, you deserve to be in pink.
Oh, yes, I am.
See, yes, I am.
All right, I'm sure they're tired of me talking and baby talk.
We love that Ginger, yes, we do.
Yes, y'all love me. I love you. All right, so Owlads Online celebrates one anniversary. One year anniversary. All players receive a free wolf mount and a preview of the next expansion.
A free wolf mount.
Yeah. All right. great. Now I'm blushing. All right. So May will start in style with 1 year anniversary of the official launch of Alids Online, the completely free renowned for its highly polished world and unique astral space exploration. In addition to the free wolf mount, all players will receive on May 1st. Everyone can look forward to a new expansion being launched in North America and Europe on May 30th. Traversing the huge world of Sauronauts will get a lot faster thanks to the relentless Grimwolf mount, a fearsome beast that will be distributed to every Alods player. Even new players can earn the Grimwolf by logging in within the first week. Recruits, tests, premium crystals, and astral ship gear round out the giveaways by giving players all the resources they need to take on new adventures. The North American celebration begins tomorrow, May 1st. Actually, hey guys, that's today, just saying. And we'll start in Europe on May 11th. Both regions have a lot to look forward to with today's announcement of the next expansion, which will introduce a miniature system and a new sector of astral space. New characters can level up faster by allowing themselves to be matched with level 30 plus characters of the same class who receive great rewards for their teaching time. Heroes looking for new adventures can charge into a free-for-all astral treasure hunt and risk their ships against powerful demons to pursue rare and valuable prizes, take on the new PvP skirmish map, or plunge into the expanded kingdom of elements to face a new boss. All right. I have this up on, at least I think I do, I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning, so if you want to see this, head over there and check that out. Do it now.
All right. Well, have you seen the movie, what's the movie with Tom? The movie with Tom Cruise, what's the name of that freaking movie? Somebody out there help me. The one where he's in the future and they're preventing future crime, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it, but yeah.
To annoy me. First, I know you know. So, in any case, remember how all the cars and stuff were connected and you didn't have to drive?
Yeah.
It was also an iRobot, same type of thing. Well, guess what? We're headed that way. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, there are over 265 million vehicles, trains, and buses in the U.S. alone, yet only a very small percentage are currently with their calling connected to provide enhanced mobile voice data and other information. M2M, or wirelessly connecting machines to other machines, is driving a major transportation transformation as gas and electric-powered automobiles, police cars, and ambulances. Ginger, did you mute or did you drop?
Oh, no, I'm still here.
You got
I'm
quiet. Yeah, I can hear you now. Trains and buses.
I didn't even mute. I just got quiet, I guess.
That was weird. You got your ambulances. Trains and buses, of course, are becoming more multidimensional communications centers that gather, send, and receive information in a way that could improve vehicle and driver safety and performance. Of course, when it comes to transportation, parents are now able to equip their cars with cameras that turn on when G-forces indicate a driver is driving dangerously, so they can always keep an eye on their children. Amazing, right? This has helped reduce teen driving collisions by 70%, and technology also allows people to track and manage fleets and provide insight into risky driving behavior. The person behind this is one Mr. Wayne Ward, who's the vice president of Emerging Solutions for Sprint. Well, he's not actually the behind it completely. Ward was named to lead the company's Emerging Solutions Group in October of 2009, who are responsible for developing M2M, or what's called machine-to-machine, and mobile computing solutions. Ward's organization plays a lead role in creating a broad range of solutions for BBC, B2B, and B2C customers and partners, including in vehicle infotainment, aftermarket, and commercials, blah, 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 so on and so forth. What this boils down to, people, is probably in the next 10 to 15 years, we will not be driving our cars, and the machines will be driving our cars, so that we can remain safe.
So totally awesome.
That's what's coming. This is sent over to us from Sprint. Thank you, Sprint. I like the idea of the parents with the kids. I do think you should be able to disable their vehicle. You are driving crazy. I should be able to push a button. Engine just dead. You know, after mm-hmm. or guide them to a safe place. The auto drive just takes over. And they already have this. You know, the cars that can park themselves. It just slows down, you know, and it turns on the hazard lights to let everybody know this person is getting ready to pull over, and it kindly just guides you over to the side of the road and shuts off.
That is so cool.
And you have to call mom and dad back to get a code to unlock the car. You were swerving. When I checked the camera,
I like that idea a lot.
Look, when I checked the camera, you were drinking out of some strange container. I figured you needed to be pulled over. I'll be there to get you shortly, and I got my belt in my hand just so you know. Don't try to run. Click, the door's just locked. Okay.
That is awesome.
I'm so evil. Okay. I have another one. Because
hey, what you got?
This is fraudulent and I have to share it. Okay. I knew it was coming, but I didn't think it was going to be easy to do. Somebody over at Kickstarter has had their funding canceled because, well, there's some theft allegations. The funding campaign for a video game project on Kickstarter has been canceled after claims that assets displayed on the game's website and Kickstarter page were stolen from other studios. According to Gamma Sutra, Little Monster Productions, the studio behind Mythic, The Story of Gods and Men, had raised several thousand dollars when Kickstarter commenters began to question the validity of the project. The funding campaign was canceled by the creator, Little Monster, as the total pledge had reached $4,739 of its target $80,000, according to the Kickstarter page. The concept art for the game was allegedly stolen from a number of different sources, as spotted by a Kickstarter commenter. However, a representative for Little Monster responded, denying the allegations. I can say that I can. He looks a lot like Mist. They're saying a few members of our team worked at Burton Design Group last year before we found out the owner was being shady with the funds. They left and joined our team shortly after. As for the concept art, it seems we have been subjected to false claims of ownership rights to our concepts. The game itself is well in the progress and is not a scam of any kind. The description for the team claimed that 9 of its 12 members previously worked at Activision Blizzard on World of Warcraft, Diablo 2,
oh, wow,
the original StarCraft. The alleged scam comes, of course, as Double Fine's record-breaking Kickstarter campaign caused a massive boost in funding for game-related projects across the entire site. So, yeah, it does look a lot like Myst. I'm sorry. It just does. I don't know what other game, but it looks familiar. Maybe you guys should have hired a different concept artist. So that you're, because it could be just that that's just where they worked and the art looks very similar. I'm just saying they did one or the other. I'm just saying that would be one of the reasons why it may look so similar is because their work was used in something else. I also don't like that they use Mythic. You know what else looks similar? Remember Mythic Entertainment?
Uh-huh.
The Mythic looks like the Mythic from Mythic Entertainment. There's a whole lot of stuff you guys did similar.
Cool, people don't. You be stealing my Mythic stuff, man.
Here's what y'all can do. Stop making all these games with the orcs and trolls. It's what y'all can stop doing.
Yes. Give us something new. Give us something. I'm so tired of orcs and trolls. You've given us nothing but orcs and trolls, like, forever.
Oh, there is a Shadowrun campaign. We told you about the Shadowrun, yeah, Returns. Ooh, I can't wait. And they've already met their goal, so it's coming. They had a goal of $400,000, and they've got $1 million, so I'm very excited.
Yep. All right. What I got? This is kind of cool. An action kit to fight CISPA. This is over on GamePolitics.com this morning. Over at Business Insider, the DL show host and news media advocate David Seaman offers 4 things you can do right now to fight against the legislative nightmare that is CISPA. The key points of what he calls an action kit are simple enough. Learn as much as you can about CISPA. Sign the most popular anti-CISPA petitions, call your elected representatives about the bill, and spread the word about what CISPA does. He rightly points out that the mainstream media totally buried any coverage of PIPA and SOPA until the 11th hour, when Google and others joined in on the protest. You can read the Siemens points below, which, you know, no, you can't visit, because I'm going to read them to you. All right, so what he says is, become as knowledgeable as possible. You can't fight what you don't understand. The EFF has compiled a great summary of prominent voices of opposition. You can browse here. Number 2, sign the most popular of the anti-CISPA petitions. This one has 779,082 signatures so far. Their goal is 1 million signatures, and it's a goal I believe we can hit. A few cowards have told me they'd sign it, but they don't want to wind up on a list. Really, people? Come on. I mean, God, you're already on a list. He says, hey, this is America. We put our names behind what we truly believe in, and we don't fear being put on lists. Not yet, anyways. So that petition is over at avaz.org, which is avaaz.org. And if you want this link, it's up on gamepolitics.com. I'm probably going to Twitter it as well, or tweet it. It takes about 20 seconds to fill out and submit. Number 3, call. Do not email, Facebook message, or fax your 2 senators today. As in right now, here's a listing of senators' official phone numbers. This can be politely done in about 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Simply say you call to voice your opposition to CISPA, and if your senators vote in favor of it, you will go out of your way to vote for their opponent in the next election. Furthermore, you will tell your friends and families to do likewise, and spread the word of the politician's pro-CISPA stance via your social media accounts. I've been told repeatedly that calling makes the most impact. Emails and faxes are all too easy to be ignored, and we have no time to waste. While posting a message on your senator's public Facebook pages is a good way to build public awareness of CISPA, it is not the ideal way to directly connect with the senator's office. You want to reach an actual aide who will send them the message up the chain of command rather than an overworked social media intern. Awareness is number four. The American people cannot oppose something they don't even know about.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. The mainstream media cannot be counted on here to get the message out in time. They are lazy, incompetent, and take their marching orders directly from parent companies, which, to put quite simply, do not have your best interests nor your privacy at heart.
Unlike us here.
Uh-huh. He closes with, I did not truly believe this until I saw the mainstream media refuse to cover and utterly marginalize the discussion surrounding NDAA, which is now law, regrettably, and SOPA, which fortunately millions of Americans and concerned internet users around the globe managed to oppose in time. We can win. He's right. We can. All right, so I am going to put the floor. If you love me, people, you know, Game Matrix, all of us girls here, oh, hell, even our guy Blaster, we love you too. Mwah, mwah. If you love us, please go do this. It's not hard. It takes all of, 5 minutes of your time.
Mm-hmm.
Please do this.
Amen. All right. It's almost for us to go, but I got one more quickie I wanted to throw in because I mentioned it before.
Got a quickie.
Facebook is debuting something nice. It's called Organ Donation Timeline. They're going to be testing, or actually they tested the new life-saving feature yesterday and announced the ability to add organ donation status to a person's Facebook timeline. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg appeared on Monday, on Good Morning America Monday, to talk about the feature, saying that the idea of it came from having dinner with his girlfriend, Priscilla Chan. As Chan is in med school, she's seen the power that organ donation can have on someone's life, so Zuckerberg decided to implement the feature on Facebook to better connect friends and families with critical details that could save a life. He says Facebook is really about communicating and telling stories. No more Zuckerberg, please stop. He said, we think people can really help spread awareness of the organ donation and that they want to participate in this with their friends, and that can be a big part of helping solve the crisis that's out there. You can add your organ donation status, start by going to your Facebook timeline. Then you're going to click the Life Event button, followed by Health and Wellness, which will present you with a new option for organ donor. As you can see above, you'll fill out why, or when and why you became an organ donor, and if you're not an organ donor, you can find the appropriate registry to become one. I think this is a nice idea. It is a nice idea. I, however, cannot donate organs or blood, given to what I told you guys yesterday with Epstein-Barr. So you can't have my organs unless you don't mind sleeping, to say the least, for the rest of your life. No, they don't allow me. I'm on a list. I've tried to go donate some blood. They're like, no.
My veins are actually too small to donate blood.
They didn't use the butterfly. You know what? We'll talk about that later. But I was like, the butterfly should go right into your hand. Honestly, people with small veins. It hurts.
They always try to get it at the low area.
No. You need to come to Houston, darling. You're not supposed to be taking blood from elbow. That's just wrong. Hand, and wrist. It hurts like hell, but if you have small veins, that's the best place to go. Your veins are, you know what, I'm getting into medicine thing. Anyway, guys, you'll see us later on tonight. We'll be doing Pixinista. I forgot what we're doing. Ginger already told me. Ginger told me last week. You see, did I tell you I was going to forget?
I did, and okay, I remember what it was now. It was going to be about virtual rights to creations, whatnot.
Thank you. So if you're one of those people that creates virtual items, make sure you are listening tonight. We'll be talking or discussing, you know, how to protect them. And, of course, we'll be talking about people in game. Most likely, you know, she's been at the hub just dogging people out about the way that they dress. It's been bad. I've been getting some evil texts. Okay, so make sure you're here tonight at 8. Is it 8? 8:30? Gosh, I'm so scared of brain. Either way.
Yeah, I think it's 8:30.
Watch the Twitter tonight. We'll be here. I suck. See you guys later.
Oh, yes, they do. We run this mother.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls.